Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History Number 2. Selma Berkman and Estelle Krumen are interviewing Myrtle M. Fisher, Mrs. M. H. Fisher, on December 11, 1975. Mrs. Fisher, we know of all the wonderful things you've done for the Jewish community, and in order to find out about them, we want to go back into your past and your family's history, find out something about that which led you up to the present time. Could you possibly tell us something about your immediate family, your grandparents first, where they originated from, and father, mother, aunts, uncles, so forth?
My grandparents on both sides, on my mother's and my father's, all were born in Russia. I know very little about my aunts and uncles because they were scattered all over Russia, and we had little communication with them. My father,
what was his name?
My father's name was Baruch, B-A-R-U-C-H. Baruch Moshe, M-O-S-H-E. Mirkus, M-I-R-K-I-S-S. And I will tell you about that in a moment. And my mother's name was Esther Ita.
Well, your father's name was Baruch Moshe, your grandfather?
No, my father.
Your father.
Right.
And your mother?
My mother's name was Esther Ita, E-S-T-H-E-R-E-T-A, Marilyn, M-A-E-R-L-I-N. That was her maiden name. And I adopted that as my middle name, as you notice. My father's mother's name was Leah. And
not so fast.
All right. My father's mother's name was Leah, and his father's name was Beryl, B-E-R-E-L. My mother's mother's name was Goldie, and her father's name was Avrum, A-V-R-U-M.
Did you say that your grandparents were born in Russia, or your parents?
My parents and my grandparents,
so your parents,
on both sides.
Right. Parents were born. Mm-hmm.
All right, now, can you tell us about their life in Russia, what they did? Or they're coming to the United States.
From what my mother used to tell us, all of them were merchants. That is, the male members of the family were merchants.
In what
city? Some kind of business. Some of them were in Kiev, some were in Odessa. We lived in a little town.
Were you born in Russia also?
I was.
Oh, this I didn't know.
Right. I was born in Russia too.
What was the date?
And March 11, 1906.
In what city?
In Kitross, K-I-T-R-O-S-S, which was a little town, and the closest city to Kitross, K-I-T-R-O-S-S, the closest city to this little town was Kiev. And it took about a day to get there by train.
Not so fast.
Now, at what age did you come to the United States?
I came to the United States when I was a little over 6 years old, about six and a half.
And did you have any brothers or sisters?
I am a member of eight, there were six girls and two boys. Two children died when they were in Russia, one an infant brother.
Two died in Russia.
One, an infant brother, and a sister who was 9 years old who died.
Do you remember anything of that life in Russia?
I remember it very vividly. I've always said that if I ever went back to that town, I would remember every nook and corner of it. As a matter of fact, I still speak a little bit of Russian. And I speak Yiddish fluently because When we came over to this country, three members of my family preceded.
What did you say? You speak Russian and
Yiddish.
Hebrew or Yiddish?
No, Yiddish. Yes. I speak Russian, I'm able to be understood, and I can understand, well, I don't speak it fluently, but I do speak Yiddish fluently.
We took away from you when you were talking about what kind of merchants they were.
I would say that probably grocery, or one of them I know used to sell dry goods.
And you mentioned Kiev and Odessa. Were there other communities that your family? Was this your parents or just aunts and uncles?
Aunts and uncles.
All right, but of your immediate family, they were in Kiev or in your little community?
No, my immediate family, my family, my mother and my father lived in Petrovsk.
And they, were they merchants there?
They also lived in a small town, and one of them also had a grocery store, and another one had a dry goods store.
What did your father have in this
city? We had a little grocery store. It was a variety store, I would say, but not to the variety that one would think of as we have here in the United States. It was primarily groceries, cigarettes, and even wines we used to sell, too.
Do you remember helping in that?
Indeed, I do, because like all other children in Europe, we were way above our age. And my sister, for instance, there were three of us left. After my two sisters and my brother preceded us to the United States, there were three of us left, my older sister, about whom I'll tell you in a moment, and then another sister and I. One sister was 11 and one was 9.
When you came here?
Yes. No. When they were still in Europe, the two sisters. And when my mother used to go to shop after my father's demise, when my mother used to go to shop for the store in Kiev, she would leave my 11-year-old sister and my 9-year-old sister to take care of the store. And obviously, children of that age in Russia or in Europe, anywhere, I venture to say, had responsibilities that were beyond that which we think of here of children the same age in America.
How old was the oldest sister in charge?
My oldest sister, one of whom was somewhat retarded, she must have been about, if Eva was 11, she must have been about 15.
Well, she wasn't the one in charge of the store. No, the one in charge of the store was
11. 11 and 9, both of them had the same responsibility.
Now, you had two sisters older than you?
There was Goldie, who came to the United States when she was almost 18. And she came in 1907. My brother Abe came here when he was 17. He came in 1909. And my sister Eva was 13 when she came to the United States. And she came in 1911. They in turn sent for my mother and me and my two other sisters.
Now, what had happened to your father?
He died when, at the age of 42.
Mm-hmm. Mother and two sisters and you.
Right. No, my two sisters and me. Right.
Father died when? What year did he die?
Well, now let's see. I was about 13 months old when he died.
It's about 1907.
1907. Mm-hmm.
And what did he die from?
Pneumonia. At least that's what they think he died. You know, in these small towns, and with a few physicians there, people assumed or suspected what people died from.
So your mother kept the store going?
My mother kept the store going all the time that we were there.
Was that a Jewish community or a general community?
No, it was primarily non-Jewish.
And how many Jewish families?
Oh, I venture to say there were maybe 50, 60 Jewish families, maybe 75. That I really don't remember.
With about 50 Jewish families.
It was primarily non-Jewish.
Mm-hmm. But your customers were all kinds?
All kinds.
Did you keep kosher food?
Indeed we did, as did I mentioned to say.
In your home or?
No, I meant in the store.
No.
Did you sell kosher food?
No, we had no, because we had no meats.
Could you tell us about, your Jewish upbringing and that atmosphere?
Well, the...
religious or whatever?
We had a tutor that used to come to school, to our home, to teach us Yiddish or Hebrew. And Hebrew, I should say. Mostly Yiddish. And the Russian, my sisters also had the education, they got their education at home, because the Russian schools, so they just didn't accept Jewish children.
Well,
there were restrictions at that time.
If the tutor came to teach you Yiddish, what were you speaking in the home generally?
Yiddish and Russian.
You spoke both in the home?
Both languages fluent.
In the home generally?
In the home, right. Yiddish and Russian. And the tutor came to our home to teach us mainly, I would say, or perhaps only the Yiddish, not the Russian.
Would you repeat what you said about the schools?
The schools were restricted. They weren't anxious to have any Jewish children in the schools. And the Jewish people had to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And we were a poor family, and I suppose we couldn't afford it even if they had accepted us.
Did you have, was there a synagogue in this
little
town?
Yes, there was. There was a synagogue. Mm-hmm. There was a synagogue.
Of course, it was most likely Orthodox.
Oh, my, yes. Mm-hmm.
But
there was only one synagogue, as a matter of fact, in this little town.
If you were too poor to pay to go to the schools, the tutor you paid, though, but was it paid with food or with...
No, with money.
With money.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, they did have a cheder in this little town. But my mother preferred that he come to the house because she thought that we could get more concentrated teaching. And she was particularly concerned about the sister of mine who was retarded, and she wanted her to get as much attention as possible. So while he came to teach her, he used to teach us too. Now, I got least of the education because I was just a young child. Mm-hmm. I was 6 years old. As a matter of fact, I had a tutor teaching me Yiddish here in the United States.
You were the youngest child?
I was the youngest one. Mm-hmm.
Your retarded sister was, what was her name?
Her name was Sarah, and she was retarded.
S-A-R-A-H.
S-A-R-A-H. She wasn't born retarded. As an infant, she fell out of her crib. Not out of her crib. You're interested to know that it was my mother had her in one of these cribs, and it was tied to a branch. And one of the children wasn't even one of our own children. I guess somebody in the little village twisted the cradle, and the branch broke, and she fell down, and her head was injured. She had a head injury, and she never learned. She didn't learn too fast of anything.
So there were three sisters that came to the States with you,
right.
Then the retarded one, and the 9-year-old, and the 11-year-old.
Mm-hmm. That's right. No, there were two sisters, and there were three, two and I. My
oh,
sister,
she wanted
the retarded
those.
One, and my sister
oh,
Anna,
see.
And I.
Oh, Anna
and
was the
Anna,
other that
Anna.
Came with you.
Right.
Anna and Sarah. Anna
right.
was, how old was she when
Anna
you came?
Was, I would say that Anna was then about 11 or 12.
And Sarah would have been at that time when
she
came?
Was in her, I venture to say, about 20 or 21.
Was her muscular? Was she able to walk around?
Oh, my, yes. Mm-hmm. In fact, she worked when she
Oh, she
came.
Did work.
Yes, she did. I want to tell you something interesting. This, my two sisters and my brother who preceded us, of course, they worked here when I came to earn money to bring us over to this country. And the reason that we came, you'll probably want to know, is because, like, all other Jewish people in Russia at that time, they were oppressed. This was shortly after, you know, the pogroms were in 1893. Some of the most serious pogroms were in 1893. And while the Jewish people were respected and regarded, there came a time when you were never certain about what the outcome will be. For instance, we had this little grocery store. And if ever there was a respected family in our village, it was us, my
mm-hmm.
mother especially. They adored her. But when we had this little, when we had the store, and they would come, the inspectors, for instance, would come. There was no such thing as just walking in. They would come, the gendarmes would walk in, you know, in their uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
and show their authority. There was always a fear and among the Jewish people, no matter where they lived, even in the large cities. And of course, the reason that my sisters and my brother came here was because we really wanted to get out of Russia. Mm. We felt that there wasn't the freedom that we wanted. And my sister that came here, the oldest one, actually came to Pittsburgh because a cousin of mine was the first one to arrive. She didn't even know him. But when
that
we
was
came
Goldie.
Here, Goldie, she came here, and she came because my cousin was already here.
What was his name?
His name was Morris Schwartz, S-C-H-W-A-R-T-Z. Now, why he came to Pittsburgh, I have no idea. I think his two sisters preceded him, mm-hmm. and they just happened to come. I think that people came to America just, well, they pick a city and go. They used to, my first sister came because he was here. Mm-hmm. Now, our name was Mirkus, as I told mm-hmm. you, and the word Mirke in Yiddish means a measuring instrument. My grandfather used to sell measuring instruments, which reminds me when you asked what they did. And the name, Jewish people assumed names of their professions, like silversmith, goldsmith, and so on. Ours was Mirkus because my grandfather used to sell these measuring instruments. Well, when my sisters came here, this cousin of mine, Morris Schwartz, didn't like the name Mirkus. He knew somebody by the name of Marcus. So he changed my sister's name from Mirkus to Marcus, and that's how we assumed the surname of Marcus.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Do you remember, of course, when your father was living and your mother, and it was a household, you know, about, you know, disciplines, how you were brought up, your sense of values, and what they tried to teach you as a young child?
Well, as far as my father was concerned, I knew very little about him except what I have heard about him. He was a very handsome, cultured, educated man. As a matter of fact, he used to do the studying, and my mother used to do the working, which was true in many a Jewish household. They were both disciplinarians, terrible disciplinarians. My mother, to her dying day, was the matriarch of the family. We regarded her and worshipped her to her very dying day, even though she was a disciplinarian. There was one thing that she required of all of us, no matter what our age was, kovod. You know the word kovod means? Respect. Mm-hmm. And there was just respect in our family from the time that I can remember. And discipline must have been I think this was true with most Jewish families in those days. My father, for instance, my sister Eva, the one that is still living, she's the only one, by the way, who's still living, she and I, she said she remembers the time when they had dinner one night and she didn't want to eat something, she didn't want it. So my father said, if you don't like it, just leave the room. And she was very hungry and she was sure my father would call her back to the table, but he didn't. She didn't want to eat and that was that. And I can never remember, and neither can my other sisters and brother, can ever remember either of the parents touching, whipping them, never. It was always by the look, as they say, and by correction. I can't remember my mother ever touching me, whipping me, or scolding. She scolded. All she had to do was look at me, and that was it. And there was a certain expectation of children from the European parents. I shall never forget. I was a fairly decent student in school, and I'd come home with a pretty good report card. Most of them were A's. I happened to be a pretty good kid. And I would show it to her, and I'd expect her to get all excited, and she'd say to me in Yiddish, Nusa kintira dank. Well, what do you expect a thanks for that? Yeah. This is what is expected of me.
Right.
when we come to the whatever other information you might want, we had a grocery store all the time.
Here in this area, too.
And Fridays, for instance, were football games. And I went to Shemney High School at the time. Well, I was dying to go to a football game like any other child, but I knew I had to come home on Fridays to scrub the floor because my mother was busy in the store and my sisters were working. I had no choice in the matter. I didn't even ask her because I knew this is what was expected of me. And that's the way our life was. And I think this was true, not only in our family, but you'll find when if you've interviewed other people who came at the time that we did, that this was the way it was in most Jewish families.
Well, I think you've given us a wonderful background.
I'd like to tell you something very interesting when we arrived to this country. First of all, when we left our town, which was a small village, if you saw Fiddler on the Roof, the movie, our town was just a little bit better than that. At any rate, when we were leaving, the whole town, and I'm not exaggerating, was standing along the road to bid us goodbye. And people would come out because many of the Jewish families had children already in Europe, and they would come out with packages for us to take to their children, wherever they may be. And they would say, my son is in Chicago or in San Francisco. They thought America was right a stone's throw from where we were going. At any rate, the departure was a very touching one. We took along with us the feathered pillows because to us they were very precious. I don't know why we took them, except that we used to pick the goose feathers to make the pillows from. Copper, wonderful
utensils.
Copper utensil, one or two of them. A samovar, which we gave away to a rag peddler. Because we couldn't be bothered polishing it.
Here in this country.
Yes. And a very interesting thing happened. The ship that we came on was the Rotterdam. And it was the most miserable trip that you could possibly imagine. Because they used to pack people into these ships. And I venture to say they had 100 or 200 people, more than a ship could accommodate. We went traveled third class, of course. This is all, I suppose, that my family could afford to spend. And we had a fire on the ship and a terrific storm. And anyway, when we were to get off the ship, my mother had cards. We all each had a card with our name and our destination and so on. And I remember vividly that as we were going down the gangplank, they announced in Yiddish or Russian or both that everybody should have a card ready, their cards ready. And my mother had the cards in her bosom, and she took the cards out and passed them out to us. As we were going, we came up to Ellis Island. My sister, this Sarah, the retarded one, went ahead of us. And we could see her at a distance, she was in front of us, but at that time, if anybody didn't answer the questions, which we found out later, they told them to go to a different direction. And lo and behold, we see that my sister Sarah was taken to a separate direction, to a different direction. And immediately my mother said, something is wrong. Well, we came into Ellis Island, into whatever the quarters were at the time, and Sarah wasn't there.
It's amazing. You were 6 years old and you remember.
6 years old. She'll never forget it as long as I be. And it was about 2 hours before Sarah came to us. We used to call her Sir. And she said to my mother, those people are crazy. I don't know what's the matter with them. I tell them my name is Sora and they tell me my name is Anna. And they asked me how much 4 and 4 is and I told them it was 8. I don't know what the trouble was. Well, my mother learned immediately that what happened was that she gave Sora Anna's card and me my card and her card. Mm-hmm. Well, immediately my mother said, when Sora will be investigated, she is sending Anna for the question. She wasn't sending Sora. And she alerted my sister Anna, who was 12 or 13, I think I told you, that when they call Anna, that she should go.
When they call Sarah?
No, they were going to call Anna because Sarah had Anna's card. Mm-hmm. And Anna was questioned for 4 days at Ellis Island. She wasn't with us for 4 days. They were questioning her. Anna was a very bright young child. She could read Russian and Yiddish, and she was exceptionally good in mathematics. She was an extremely bright child. She was away from us for 4 days. And in the meantime, my mother was so worried about the fact that she may be discovered about this deception.
Which was unintentional to begin with.
Unintentional. But she knew that she wouldn't, that Sura couldn't pass. And she was afraid that she would be deported. So my mother became ill at Ellis Island, and she had to be hospitalized for 2 days. Now, why were people kept at Ellis Island? You know, they had to be deloused. Many of them were undernourished. Many of them had eye diseases. You have no idea what the circumstances were there. You must have read about it sometime in history. My mother became ill, and I was taking care of Sora, me, 6.5 years old. And my mother said, try to teach her something, count with her, tell her her name, whatever you can think of, teach her. And I used to sit, the 6.5-year-old, trying to teach my sister as much as I could, so that if she was questioned about anything, that she would know something. Well, at any rate, then my mother became better, and Anna came back. She was telling us all the things that they were questioning her. She had to make blocks and all kinds of puzzles and counting. Oh, it was a rather rigorous kind of an examination. Then my mother became worried, well, maybe they're going to question Sura about something else. And she said, if Sura is going to be deported, sent back to Russia, that she would go back with Sura and that Anna and I would go. The result was...
You and Anna would come to your brothers and sisters.
To my brothers and my sisters. The result was that we were supposed to arrive in Pittsburgh, Pa, as they used to say. You know, when my family used to address a letter, it wouldn't be Pennsylvania, it would be Pittsburgh, Pa. So then we were going to Pittsburgh, Pa, that the two of us would go there and my mother would go back to Russia. And we were supposed to arrive in Pittsburgh at a certain date. I don't remember what the date was. And my brother and my sisters became worried why we hadn't arrived. So my brother came to New York to see what was happening. And we were called into, it was actually like a little court. And the judge said, asked us our names and so on. And there was absolutely no questioning whatever, none at all. And he told us to go ahead, get on the train, and go to our destination. And I remember when we got on the train in those days, they used to have people selling packaged luncheons, you know, and my sisters and my brother warned us not to buy those packages because they weren't fresh sometimes. No, I suppose they were kosher, but they weren't, because after all, most of the people were kosher in those days, and I imagine the packages were kosher, but we didn't buy one. At any rate, we came to Pittsburgh. We were to have arrived at the Pennsylvania Railroad Station, and we came to the Baltimore and Ohio. Now, how that happened, I don't know. But my sisters had gone to the Pennsylvania Railroad Station, my brother left for New York, and guess who met us at the Baltimore and Ohio Station? A member of the Council of Jewish Women and her son.
Did they know you were coming?
Yes, because in those days, the Council of Jewish Women, just like it is today, was prepared to accept the Russian people or people.
But they knew ahead of time.
Right.
And how did they know what station you were coming with?
Well, evidently, you see, this was in the days of immigration, don't forget. And I venture to say that practically every day, there was some...
So they didn't know it was you coming?
No.
That's what I mean.
Now, maybe they did. I don't know, because I never...
You don't know who it was?
No. Never found out who it was. And they brought us to 1600...